Glory.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. So before I go to the word, as I said, this is the sixth week, the second last week. I want to blow the trumpet as I had been doing from past few weeks. I told you the Lord told me to announce this announcement for 7 weeks. So the seventh week is next week, the last week of the year 2024. Hallelujah. Amos chapter number 8. Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So this is the announcement for the famine of the word. And I am going to take something tonight related to this. So I will park it for after, for that time, for that particular time. So I will come to this verse, to this announcement once again in the middle of the message that I am going to teach tonight. All right, the sermon tonight is a prophetic word from God, based on a dream that I saw on 8th December 2024. That was the day I came and told about it in KA's meeting. And that day was 8th December for me. So this sermon is a prophetic word that is based on that dream. When I started to see, I knew that I had to teach about something, a message that the Lord was giving to us and to the body of Christ from that dream. I knew that day, but I prayed, and then yesterday when I was praying, the Lord gave me the complete meaning and what he wants to convey through that dream. Okay, so this sermon is a prophetic word based on that dream, and it is the title I give it is The Supply of Manna. The Supply of Manna. Hallelujah. The Supply of Manna. All right, so before I begin the sermon, let me tell you how this originated, how, why the Lord wants to give us this message. The supply of manna. All right. So in my dream, let me only give you the part that I want, the Lord wants me to release it to you. So in my dream, I saw two pastors speaking with each other. And I know these pastors, but I will not disclose the name. I don't have authority to disclose the names. So these two pastors were speaking to each other, and one of them was saying to the another, this was what he was saying: the dark Lord has been with God, so he knows about the most holy place. That's it. So one pastor is saying to another pastor, he's saying the dark Lord has been with God and he knows about the most holy place. That was the dream. And the dark Lord, meaning in the spirit, I came to know he was talking about Lucifer. And he was saying to the other pastor that he was in the most holy place. We know that Lucifer fell from heaven, and he did not fell from any common place from heaven. He was in the dwelling place of God. He was a covering cherub. He was so close to God. That means he has information about the most holy place more than you and me can have, because he practically has experienced being there continuously in the presence of the Almighty God. He was in the fire. He was before covering cherub. He was the angel who was embedded with instruments, who used to make sounds of worship and praise to the Lord. He was even having that responsibility. And in my sermons, I told you what Lucifer was doing. He was the first high priest in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, for the pre-Adamic race. I don't want to go into those things, but I have preached that sermon. If you want to refer to it, you can go to the sermon wherever. You will find it everywhere on Spotify, on YouTube, saying the ancient kingdom of Tyre. So you will find that the explanation for all those mysteries. He was the high priest. And He was the one who would connect those people to God. So he knew so many things. He knew priesthood. He knew praise and worship. He knew the presence of God. He knew the secret place. He had so much of information. And this pastor was saying to another pastor about that fact, that Lucifer knows things. So I was praying to the Lord and I was asking, Lord, what do you want to speak through this one? What is your message? I mean, he's saying that, but what is the message? What is the revelation? What is the word you want to give to me? And this is, let me read out to you. I've written it down. This is what the Lord told me when I was seeking him about this dream. Now, based on this message that the Lord gave me about the dream, I prepared my sermon. Okay? So what the Lord told me about this dream, he said to me, my word and the wisdom, revelation, and understanding of it is with those who seek me, stay in my presence, and submit to my authority. Those like Lucifer who boast about knowing me and my dwelling place, but do not seek me or submit to me, don't have my word, but all they have is sensual knowledge and information which leads to destruction and not to eternal life. All right? Now, you have to... Okay, I will continue the word of the Lord. Let me stop here. So, what did I say? This is what the Lord started to tell me. He said, my word and the wisdom and revelation and understanding of it is with those who seek me, stay in my presence and submit to my authority. They have my real word. They have my wisdom. They have the understanding of my word. Who seek me, who stay in my presence and who submit to my authority. But those like Lucifer who boast about knowing me and my dwelling place, but do not seek me or submit to me, don't have my word, but all they have is sensual knowledge and information which leads to destruction and not to eternal life. Now you have to consider the fact that Lucifer knows the Bible. You have to consider the fact that Lucifer knows the word. Lucifer has information. But his information is, let me put it like this. His information is stale and spoiled because it is of the past. Okay? The word of God is defined in its freshness. The word of God is defined in its now, and it's thus says the Lord. You have to know the fact that Lucifer knows the Bible, and when he came to Jesus, he started to quote scriptures. He started to quote scriptures that no one can quote like, because he knew the Bible. He started to quote scriptures like Jesus. He started to quote scriptures like a preacher. So anyone coming on the pulpit and coming and quoting scriptures does not mean God is speaking there. You understand that? We are coming on something. I am teaching you something that believers, you need to understand what I am teaching you tonight. Anyone coming on the pulpit and quoting, starting to quote one or two or three scriptures or four scriptures does not mean he is bringing the word of the Lord to you. It can be a stale and spoiled information. A information that is not coming from the authority of the Lord, because the person is not submissive to God. But he is bringing information of the past, of the experiences of the past. Are we understanding that? Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Stay with me. Let me continue the word of the Lord. So he said, all they have is sensual knowledge and information which leads to destruction and not to eternal life. And then he told me, the dream is significant of many of my so-called shepherds who don't seek me anymore and don't long for my presence anymore, for they are preaching and teaching the spoiled manna of the past, which I commanded to be used up in the past, and don't depend on me every day to receive their bread. That's why I heard them speaking like this, because most of them knowingly and maybe some of them unknowingly are following the footsteps of Lucifer. They have forgot to seek God every day for his fresh word and direction. All they are preaching is what they learned in their theology. Have you witnessed that around you? I have witnessed that a lot. I have witnessed that a lot. I have witnessed that a lot. When I hear someone, I know it's stale. There is no connection with God for this person. It's not relevant for the time and season. So this is what God is telling me. The dream is significant of many of my so-called shepherds who do not seek me. They are preaching. They are teaching. They open the Bible and they will teach. But what they are teaching is what God is speaking. They are teaching it from their past. Maybe their past notes. Because today they are not seeking God. Not coming to him and telling God, Lord, I am your son. I am your boy. I am your child. Lord, speak to me. There is a disconnection from the first love. You understand that? Remember, in the church of Ephesus did ministry. They preached. They did a lot of ministry work. But Jesus said, this one thing I have against you. You have lost your first love. They were not seeking for the word every day. Oh, hallelujah. Though they were not seeking for the word every day. The day I will start teaching you the same repeated things, you would know that I am not seeking the Lord anymore. I will teach you, instead of teaching you freshness, revelation, I will teach you old patterns. You will know that I am not seeking the Lord anymore. You understand that? By the grace of God, those who are hearing me, the content is also on the internet. You will not see a message repeated because I know the supply of manna is every day. The supply of manna is every day. I remember preaching and teaching about Revelation chapter number 13 in 2023. I also taught Revelation chapter number 13, Revelation 17, 18 in 2022. I also taught the same chapters in 2024. Remember, I taught about the beast. But every year I preach, a fresh and deep revelation was given to me. Are we understanding? So some people think, oh, I have finished the Bible. What else is there? Oh, no. You are not hearing the Lord every day. I know because I had been preaching consistently. In a week, every week from around 4 years, I've been preaching every week, four to five sermons every week. And I understand that the supply of manna is for every day. Supply of manna is for every day. Maybe you got something from Matthew's chapter number 16 in 2020. I know it, but go again and seek the Lord. A deeper revelation will come to you from Matthew's chapter number 16 again. Now you are how many years? Maybe 40 years. After 10 years, 50 years old, again go to that same chapter. You will get freshness. You will get deep revelation. And what God will speak to you from that chapter will be relevant for that season. But that will only happen when you are submissive for 10 years consistently under the authority of God. For 10 years, many things happened with you. You fell down. Many things happened with you in your life, in your family. Betrayals happened. Cheatings happened. Many things happened maybe in your ministry. People went, people came, people ministry shut down. Many things. But you walked with God for all those 10 years. You will continue to receive the supply of manna. Whatever happened with you, irrespective of that, you were in the presence of God. You were submissive to his authority. You will continue to receive the supply of manna. You will continue to receive the supply of manna. Your speakings will not retire in Jesus' mighty name. The words of your mouth shall not retire in Jesus' mighty name. It will be fresh. It will be relevant. I am telling you, don't strive to build a big ministry or do big things for God. Strive to be relevant and connected to God in every season. of your life. I want to stay connected. Hallelujah. Are people there in this place? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. What about those who are not on the screen? Say, can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Amen is very weak here. Okay. The dream is significant. Very weak. All right. Maybe by the end of the sermon, you will get some strength. The dream is significant of many of my... This is what the Lord said to me. The dream is significant of many of my so-called shepherds who don't seek me anymore. Who don't seek me anymore. Okay, hold on. Hallelujah. And don't long for my presence anymore. For they are preaching and teaching the spoiled manna of the past, which I commanded to be used up. Which I commanded to be used up in the past. And they don't depend on me every day to receive their bread. Now listen to this. If they continue to refuse my supply of manna, they will not enter the promised land, says the Lord. For they walk in the iniquity of Israel, who manhandled the supply of manna and despised it in the wilderness. Okay? That is the iniquity of Israel. Israel did not handle manna well. We will see that now when we start off the supply of manna. First of all, they did not handle manna as per the instructions. Now, okay. And secondly, they despised manna. Let me give you the scriptures, then we will start off the sermon. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 20. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 20. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So God told them, listen, don't keep the manna until morning. Don't save any manna. Tomorrow you will get your next manna. But these people are like, no, let us keep. They manhandle. They did not handle manna well. The supply of manna was not handled well by them. Another scripture, the same chapter. Exodus chapter number 16, verse 27 and 18. Exodus 16, 27 and 8, 28, sorry. Exodus chapter 16, 27 and 28. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Another example of not handling the supply of manna. Okay, when we come to the supply of manna, I will explain you those things. It was said to them that on the sixth day, gather twice so that you can rest on the seventh day. Seventh day, you will not go to labor to gather the manna. But they went on the seventh day. They went on the seventh day also to gather manna. And God was angry. He said, why are they refusing my commandment regarding manna? Why are they doing that? Okay. So they manhandled manna. When they are supposed to depend tomorrow, they would not depend tomorrow. They will gather today so that they don't have to come to God tomorrow. So, okay. So these are the manhandling. And this is what the Lord is saying that many of the churches and shepherds are doing. Okay, it's not a consistent everyday relationship. Now we just ended walking as Jesus walked. What did Jesus said? He said, deny yourself, carry your cross daily and follow me. Don't be happy. I did it today. I did it for 1 month. I fasted for 21 days. Listen, this is not a sprint race of 100 meter, 200 meter. This is a marathon. You have to run till the end of your life. Consistently. Are you understanding? So you will not rejoice because, Apostle Paul did not rejoice so soon. He rejoiced at the end. He said, I have finished the race and I have fought a good fight of faith. That is the time he could relax. Now God has told me, okay, it's done. It's time for me to leave this body. because I have finished the race and I have fought a good fight of faith. I cannot rejoice so soon. That is a very long journey for me. Okay? The way you are seeing me today, if you can see me after the same, after 20, 30 years, that means I have done well. But if things change, the God is unchanging God. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Hallelujah. But we change very quickly. We change very quickly. You understand that? Hallelujah. But what God expects from us is a consistent walk. And don't manhandle the supply of manna. Okay. Do we see that scriptures? What God was saying about manna, they were not listening to God. They were doing things which God was saying don't do regarding to the supply of manna. Also Numbers, we have went to this verse many times, Numbers 11, 5 and 6. Numbers 11, 5 and 6. Numbers 11, 5 and 6. Numbers chapter 11, 5 and 6. We remember the fish which we freely ate in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. So they despised manna. They despised manna. This is a stage spiritually where people start to say, brother, you know what? Why do you always talk about Bible, Bible, Bible? Let us also have some extra knowledge. No. Let us also read some extra biblical things. No. No, my Bible is the best book. I will hold on to the Bible. I will hold on to the Bible. That is where you become familiar with the Bible because you have done a doctorate, you have done a PhD. I have done doctorate, PhD. I have read the Bible so many times. Now I am known as Dr. Rahul Roy because that is a doctorate degree and I become so familiar. Bible. Now that is what the people of Israel are doing. They became so familiar. Our souls, our bodies, our lives are dried up with this dry manna. Enough of it. They despised manna. They despised manna. You see that? And what was the result of all this manhandling and despising of manna? They did not enter the promised land. So this is what the Lord is speaking to the church. He said, if they continue to refuse my supply of manna, they will not enter the promised land, for they walk in the iniquity of Israel, who manhandled the supply of manna and despised it in the wilderness. Okay? All right. So that is the message from the Lord about that dream, the meaning of the dream. Now I will start off the sermon, the message, the supply of manna. The supply of manna. The supply of manna is categorized into three categories. The first category is everyday supply. Write it down. The supply of manna. Manna, I mean, it means the physical food for Israel, but the revelation, the understanding, the meaning of manna is the bread of heaven. And signifies the bread of heaven. Because Jesus said to the Jewish people, He said, what your ancestors ate in the wilderness, that was not the real bread of heaven. It signified the bread of heaven. But I am the real bread from heaven. Jesus, the Word. Okay? So, okay. The supply of manna is categorized into three categories. The first is everyday supply, meaning consistent dependence on God. Consistent dependence on God. Throughout your life. Okay. Everyday supply. Consistent dependence on God. The second category is manna for rest. Or Sabbath. Manna for rest or Sabbath. The third category is manna to equip and habituate us for conquering and subduing territories. Manna for equipping and habituate us for conquering and subduing territories. So let's start off with the everyday supply of manna. All right. Now God wants to give you, but he does not want to give you as you want. If God asks me, okay, Rahul, how do you want to receive? I will tell God, you know what, God, give me a supply for another 20 years that I will keep it and I will rest. I will do nothing. That is what I will tell him. If you want to give me, give me a lot. That for another 20 years, I will just relax. I don't have to do ministry. I don't have to pray and all those stuff. Yeah, I can pray my meal prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the meal. And in the morning, I can get up and say, oh, thank you, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit, and all those stuff. But I don't have to, you know, labor in prayer. So you give me so many sermons in or you give me supplies, let's say financially, spiritually, every supply for another 20, 30 years. So that is what I will ask. But that is not, God will not give me supplies as per my will. He will not fulfill what I am saying to him. God will say, no, Lord, no, 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 Rahul, I will not do that. I will not do that. I have already, you know, by the book of 1 Peter says that everything that is required for life and godliness, he has already given to us through the knowledge of Christ. But even as you, I will not release everything. I will release it only for today. And when you obey for today, and when you submit to me today, I will open the next door of supply and give you for the next day, so that I will make sure that you don't run away from me. I will make sure that you don't run away from me and you don't start depending on me. I will keep some lacks in your life. I will keep some weaknesses in your life. And sometimes I will not answer you. That is what God will say to me. Sometimes I will not answer you, so that you will seek me diligently.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah. So that is how God says that he will supply. That is how God says that he will supply. Now I am telling that by experience. Okay. Every area of your life, God, sometimes he will not answer you. Sometimes you will not feel his presence. He wants to see you seeking after him. Because we will come to the priority of God when we come to the second category. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I think your amen will become a little stronger now. Okay. The system. Okay. Everyday supply of manna. The system of the everyday supply of manna The system of everyday supply of manna leaves you with no option but to depend on God for the next day. The system of the supply of manna, the everyday supply we are on, leaves you with no option but to depend on God for the next day. Hallelujah. Now that is what happens to me every week. Sometimes I think I will not have to, I don't have to be under pressure to wait, because Friday meetings for what we do is Saturday morning for me in India. So sometimes I think, because I don't have to be under pressure and this and that, so I will give me a message on Monday itself. Okay, so I know what I will speak on Saturday morning or Friday night for you. So I tell the Lord, every week I tell the Lord, give me a message on Monday itself. But I open my Bible, read the Bible, meditate on it. I never get a message on Monday. On Tuesday, I never get a message. Wednesday, I never get a message. Thursday, I never get a message. It is till Friday night. At the last moment, this message I got Friday night. And every week it happens like that. Most of the week it happens like that. You see how long? So it is on God when he wants to give the message. I cannot say, Lord, on Tuesday, I am free. You know, I don't have many calls and all those things. So I give me a message. But I open the Bible, he will not give me a message. I'm telling you. It is before the meeting, I get the message. I mean, I have so many revelations. I mind you, the way I do ministry, I don't refer to my writings. I want to preach what the Lord wants me to say on that particular day, even if it is a teaching. Even if it is a deep teaching, I am telling you, it is from the Lord that I teach. So many, every week, I am telling you, from so many years, every week, I think, Monday, Tuesday. Sometimes he will give, but mostly he will not give. I will come, read the Bible, he will not give. I will not be able to, I will meditate, what, and but for many hours I will not get anything. And then I have to wait. And then at the last, he will tell me. It is the everyday supply. It leaves me with no option but to depend on God for the next day, to go to him again. Hallelujah. To go to him again, to go to him again, to go to him again. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The system of the everyday supply of manna leaves you with no option but to depend on God for the next day. Okay. The second point about the everyday supply is it's a test. It's a test by God to see whether we want to walk in His word or not. It's a test from God. God wants to see whether we want to really walk in His word or not. So He tests us by the everyday supply and not a surplus supply, but everyday supply. Okay, let me give you the scripture for that. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 4. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." You see that? The kind of system of the supply chain of manna, the Lord has put it like this. It's a test for each one of us. It's a test. So he's saying, I will give them bread from heaven, but every day. And I am doing that kind of a release of the bread because I want to what? I want to test them whether they really want to walk in my word or they just want the manna to fill their bellies. You know, Apostle Paul talks about their God is their belly. So just for their bellies, just for some people, I know some people who read the Bible, but they have not received Jesus. They have not converted from their religion to receive Jesus, to get into a relationship with Jesus. But they tell me, I love the Bible, bro. I love the Bible because the Bible speaks facts about how to get prosperous. So they love the word of God. They love the word of God. That's what they do. But they are not receiving the word as per the supply chain of manna. They just love the word because they want to get the benefit out of the word of God. They want to get a benefit. The freedom fighter in India called Mahatma Gandhi, maybe you know him or not, the one who led the freedom fight, or led India into freedom from the British rule. He went to study in South Africa, and there he learned the Bible. So what he did was he took the verses of Jesus, he took the teachings of Jesus, and started to fight for freedom in India on the basis of non-violence, on the basis of scriptures like if someone slaps you on one cheek, give the other cheek also. So he used the Bible to bring freedom in India. India got freedom through the Bible, through the scriptures. Okay, but they don't believe in Jesus. They are not connected to the supply chain of manna. Once upon a time, they used the Bible. They studied some scriptures, and they became revolutionaries. Some of the people don't even know that in India, they don't even know that if someone slaps on your one cheek, give the other cheek. They think Gandhiji said it. No, Gandhiji took it from the Bible. So Mahatma Gandhi, some people would take the Bible, will not even disclose it that I took it from the Bible. They will say, I said it. It's my thought. Okay, any which ways, but are you understanding? People who want to gather manna for their own benefit, it is spoiled manna. That is what I want to tell you. People who want to gather manna or take manna for their own benefit. So, through the everyday supply of manna, God wants to test whether you just want to use my word and become a revolutionary or a famous person or to your own benefit or to your own prosperity, or whether you want to really submit completely to me under my authority and walk with me. There are two things to it. Do we understand that? Many preachers preach from the Bible for prosperity. They are not walking with Christ. They are not hearing God every day. And God is saying to them, you are not going to enter the promised land if you continue. You are continuing in the iniquity of Israel. You don't understand the revelation of my supply of manna. So it is a test by God to see whether we want to walk in his word or not. We want to really walk in his word, in his presence or not. It's a test from God. Manna. The third thing about the everyday supply. The third thing about the everyday supply is, it would expose, the everyday supply of manna would expose our selfishness of whether we just want to receive his word to fill our belly and be satisfied without want, or we truly want to be more hungry for him every day to have a relationship with him. Okay? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It would expose our selfishness. The church I was in, the first church after I encountered Jesus, the first church I was in, the first year I was in that church. Ah, what a sermon, Pastor. Wonderful. Great preaching. The first year. The second year, I saw him preaching the same things he preached in the first year. Exact same things. I said, okay. No new things. Only if the Spirit of God wants to speak to someone, he would. Maybe for that allowance, God will speak something new, but nothing new under the sun. New means it's not about my excitement in the flesh, but the staleness can be seen the second year. The third year, the same sermon on Easter Sunday, the same thing on Christmas, the same thing on every day, the same doctrines, the same thing. Exact same thing. And I started to realize, he no longer hears from God. The first year I was so excited because I was hearing these things for the first time. But after that, he's just repeating himself. He's just saying the same things. Okay? So why? Why is that happening? Because he is not connected to the everyday supply of manna. He is not connected to the everyday supply of manna. That is what has happened there. And it exposes our selfishness. Whether we just want to receive his word to run ministry, you know, have the congregation and just be satisfied in that, that my life is settled because I am doing this, doing that. Or we truly want to be more and more hungry for him every day, to have a relationship with him. All right. Do we see the three things about the everyday supply? Okay. Now let's come to the scriptures. Exodus chapter number 16. Let's come to the scriptures. Exodus chapter number 16. Let's read from verse number 11 to 21. Exodus chapter number 16. Verse number 11. To 21. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Okay, so they were commanded to gather how many? One omer by measurement for every person. So there were different classes of people there. Some of the time, oh, I will gather more than one omer. Why? Because it's free, right? It's there, it's just there and it's free. So some of them thought, let me gather some more than one omer. But what did God say? Only one omer for each person and that will suffice your need. But we are so selfish. We want to gather more so that we can keep it for tomorrow. Okay, that's how it is. We want to gather more. Some of them gathered less. Maybe they gathered less because others gathered more, or maybe they did not understand the measurement. But when they used it on that day, the Bible says it was exactly as per individual's need. Are you listening to me? So some gathered more, some gathered less. This verse, I think it is also quoted in Romans by Apostle Paul, that some received more, some received less, some gathered more, some gathered less, but it was exactly as per what they needed that day. So what I want to tell you is, when you depend on God and stay in his presence and receive as per his will, when you depend on God and stay in his presence, I mean you depend on God for everything, what you will receive is not as per your measurement. What you will receive is what is as per God's measurement, and God knows exactly what you need. What does the Bible says? My God shall supply all your needs. Do you know that? God knows exactly what we need. Yeah, not only about spiritually, but also financially, physically. God knows what, even spiritually, what word, what revelation we need. And he will supply as per that on that day. So, when you depend on God and stay in his presence and receive as per his will, your will and efforts do not matter, for you will be satisfied exactly as per your needs. Okay? Hallelujah. Some people go to extra mile and say, oh, I want to fast, I have fasted. And that's how they destroy their body. They think that the more they will starve themselves, the Lord will speak. It's not like that. God has a system in place. I'm not saying no, don't fast, but they go to the extreme. They go to the extreme. No, things are not working. I have to make it work. No. You cannot make it work. You cannot make it work. Lean on the chest of Jesus. Lean on God's promises. Rest in him. Rest in him. If it's not working, calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Are you understanding, people of God?
Amen.
In ministry, there are so many people. People coming. Oh, this person is, that person is coming. Ministry. No. Listen, I am not going to become anxious. I'm not going to, you know, become, oh, I have to do something. Let me lean on his word. Let me just do faithfully what I'm doing. Let me just do that. You understand that? Because when you depend on God, he will know exactly what you need for today. He knows when to shift your season. He knows when to promote you. He knows when to elevate you. He knows those times. Calm down. He will do it. Hallelujah, people of God. Are you understanding?
Amen.
He knows everything. So today, if the things you expected today, tomorrow, it's not happening, just calm down. And just, Lord, I want to be in your presence. Every day, he knows exactly and he will supply. Spiritually, physically, financially, whatever, in every area of your life. But we are talking about manna. He knows today how much bread to give you. And what kind of bread to give you. He knows that. Hallelujah. So eat or receive as per his will and not as per our will. Okay. So they gathered, verse 18. So when they measured it, we are on Exodus 16, verse 18. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Verse number 19. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it until morning. This is the commandment. You are getting it for today. Your needs are sufficed. Don't gather it and think I will use it next morning. Don't do that. But verse number 20. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun came hot, it melted. All right. The second thing that is the people of Israel did with the everyday supply is they gathered more so that they can use the next morning. But God said, don't gather. I am giving it today. Tomorrow morning, you have to again come to me. So we have to receive his word. Sometimes people receive his word to use it for evil and selfish intentions with a motive that they would not have to depend on God anymore. That is the understanding of it. That is the reason why they were gathering more. Not because they want the more of God, the more of manna, but because tomorrow they don't have to go out of their tents and again wait for the manna and again go and gather manna. Tomorrow they don't have to depend on God, wait on God. That's why they gathered as they were gathering as much as they can today. You understanding? And because they gathered more than they needed, the extra manna got spoiled. The extra manna got stale. That is the spoiled manna of yesterday, which cannot be used up today. You understand that? A preacher, a messenger of God, a shepherd appointed by God is defined in his everyday relationship with the Lord. Have you heard the Lord today? Is defined in his consistent walk with God. The everyday supply of manna makes sure that we are having a consistent walk with God. Okay, today I am hearing from God and teaching you. What about the next week? What about the next week? Am I thinking, this week I will not hear from God? No, we have to have a consistent walk with God and have an everyday dependence on God. So don't start to celebrate today that you did a great work for the Lord. I preached a great sermon or I had a great ministry, because there is so many years of my life to come. And I have to take heed that all the days of my life, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I have to have a consistent walk with God. That is what the everyday supply of manna ensures that we follow. Are we understanding now? So that is the everyday supply of manna, the revelation of the everyday supply of manna. Now, the next category of the supply of manna is the supply of manna for rest. The supply of manna for rest. Okay. Now, you have to understand that the Lord loves to fellowship with us. He wants to be intimate with us. And so he introduced the concept of Sabbath, which is rest. Okay. Now, this is a very important category, very important category. Many believers don't know this revelation. The priority of the Lord is to walk with you in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, just to fellowship with you. Okay? That is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 3. You know, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit, but as always, God came to the garden and in the cool of the day. Why he came there in the cool of the day? He came there at that time because his intention was Because and remember, the Garden of Eden was made in a way that Adam did not have to work on it or till the ground for the produce to yield. There was an automatic system that was placed. You will see that in Genesis chapter number 2, that the rain would be there on the ground and the ground will yield the fruits by itself, and Adam would have dominion over everything. So, in other words, there was no work for Adam to do in the garden. So, why did God create Adam? God created Adam to have close fellowship with Adam, so that Adam and God can be there in the garden, sitting in the lawn on the grass, and just fellowship, just have intimacy. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Just have intimacy, just have fellowship. That is what God wants to have with you. That is the meaning of Sabbath. Stay with me. That is the meaning of Sabbath. Now, there is a supply of manna for the Sabbath. There is a supply of manna for the Sabbath. I'm coming there. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 22 to 31. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 22 to 31. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." Hallelujah. So now we studied the everyday supply of manna, right? We understood the revelation. What is the intention of having the everyday supply chain system of manna to us? Now, this is the second category of the supply of manna, is for rest, is for Sabbath. In this category, the manna that they gathered on the sixth day will not get spoiled. It will stay, because it is the commandment of God that on the seventh day, you will not go outside to gather manna. And that's why the sixth day manna, the manna that you gather, two omers of manna, will stay and it will not get spoiled, so that you can use it on the seventh day. So the manna of rest will not get spoiled. Are you understanding that? The manna of Sabbath will not get spoiled, will not get spoiled. Let me teach you Sabbath. God introduced the Sabbath day for the people of Israel, for them to understand the rest of God. What is resting in God? Resting in God is having intimacy with him. Okay? Resting is in God is not sitting in God's presence to tell God, "Lord, tomorrow I have a service. Speak to me, give a word for the congregation." That is not resting in God. Resting in God is coming into God's presence and saying to the Lord, "Lord, I have come to make love with you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to know you." So you keep the gathering of manna and receiving of manna aside, and you just fellowship with the Lord. That is what the Lord loves. That is for what he created Adam. That's why there was no work whatsoever for Adam, because all the time God just wanted to be having fellowship with Adam. And that is what we see in Genesis 3, that as always, He came in the cool of the day to talk with Adam, to walk with Adam. Have you done that with God? That is the meaning of rest. That is the meaning of Sabbath. Are you understanding, people of God? I want to give you another revelation. The stored up manna that does not get spoiled also signifies the Bible that we read, which will never get spoiled, but it is the everlasting word of truth. And when you eat this manna, that means when you meditate on this stored manna, you will enter God's rest. It will give you rest. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? The manna that will not get spoiled is the manna for Sabbath, is the manna that leads you to rest. That is the manna that is stored up, allowed by God to be stored up, and it doesn't get spoiled. The Bible is the written word of God, the scriptures, the storage room of God, which we can access. And when you read the Bible, it signifies what God gave Israel on the sixth day. And God said it will not get spoiled. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Listen to me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. So the Bible is that stored manna, the Bible. And when you meditate on, when you eat the stored manna, that which will never get spoiled, when you eat of it, what it will give you is rest. It will give you the knowledge of God. Okay, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Let's read start from verse number 1. You have to consider, okay, I want to give some revelations to you from this. Genesis chapter number 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. And God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Okay, my question to you is, which day God created man? Okay, no one knows. God created man on the sixth day. Okay. So, the other things when God created, on the fifth, on the fourth, on the third, on the second, on the first. All the grass and the trees and the fruits and the animals and whatsoever, God created on those 5 days. On the sixth day, God created who? Man. Okay, because you did not answer me, everyone say God created man on the sixth day. Remove your mute and say, God created man on the sixth day.
God created man on the sixth day.
Amen. Amen. Sister Ruth, are you there? Your mute is never opening. Remove your mute and say, God created man on the sixth day. Are you there?
God created man on the sixth day.
So, God created man on the sixth day. And before that, for 5 days, he created everything else. He created the trees, he created the birds, he created the animals, he created everything. On the sixth day, he created man. On the seventh day was Sabbath. So God created man for rest. Listen to me. This is what I want to tell you. Before God created man, he created the provisions for the man. And after God created man, he created rest, Sabbath for the man. So I want to tell you, don't think about your needs. Even before he created you, he created and kept everything what you need. And after your creation, what you need to just do is just rest in the Lord, Sabbath. On the seventh day after creating man, he introduced Sabbath, that is rest. Hallelujah. I thought people will shout amen. Okay, no problem. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen. Oh God. Amen. Hallelujah. So,
Amen.
Are you understanding? He created you to fellowship with Him. He created you. So, what is rest? What is Sabbath? On Sabbath, you don't go out to gather the manna. That means a place where you come to God, where I come to God, not seeking God for a word, for a revelation. I just come to God saying, God, how are you doing? What is on your heart? Can we talk? That is intimacy. Let's keep gathering of manna, that is ministry, aside. Let's keep the congregation aside. The list of the people in my intercession list. Let them go out of the room. Let them go out of the room. How are you, God? God, I want to know you. What is on your heart? Let's walk in the Garden of Eden and let's have a talk. That is rest. Do you understand rest? Hallelujah. So God created what? Rest. After so even man, God did not create man on the first day. He created the provisions for the man on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth day. What a man needs. And after creating all his provisions, He created the man so that Adam will have all he needs. That is how your God is. Hallelujah. Then after creating Adam, He created Sabbath, rest. God rested from all His works. Why? He wants to fellowship with man. That's why God rested. That is the revelation of Sabbath. To make people of Israel understand Sabbath, God created the Sabbath day, but they never understood the revelation of Sabbath. Sabbath is not considering a particular day. Sabbath is understanding the revelation of rest. You understand that? That is Sabbath. If you are a Seventh-day Adventist, you know Seventh-day Adventist, they don't go to church on Sunday. They go on Saturday. They consider the Sabbath day. But I am telling you, Sabbath, technically, if you want to follow Sabbath, Saturday is not the Sabbath day. I don't want to go into that. Because the Jewish calendar is different. The calendar of the Jewish is different. So Sabbath every week does not fall on the Saturday. You have to consider go technically into the Jewish calendar if you want. And then sometimes Sabbath also falls on the Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't have time to show you those things, but that is what it is. When I went into it, studied it, and all those stuff. But the Bible says when the disciples of the Lord Jesus were in the fields on the Sabbath day, they were eating corn. Okay? And Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and the Jewish people, oh, why you are doing all these things? Your disciples are eating. And He said, I am the Lord of Sabbath. You understand that? If we got to follow that particular day, Jesus would have followed it. The disciples would have followed it. But they understood what is Sabbath. It's not considering a particular day. But because the people of Israel were hard-hearted, that custom was introduced for them, but still they did not receive the revelation of Sabbath. This is Sabbath, walking in the cool of the day with the Lord in the Garden of Eden and doing no other work. Doing no other work. That is Sabbath. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Where we were? Verse number 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His works which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the, verse number 5, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Okay, stop that. So that is what I was telling. There was no scope whatsoever for Adam to do any work, for there was an automatic system. Verse 5 and 6 talks about the automatic system that was placed in the earth that would water the ground. But that automatic system was negated or was removed when they ate of the fruit. And God said, from now on, you have to till the ground. You see what sin does? Sin takes your time and keeps it occupied to earn money and to earn the things of the world so that the fellowship with God will be cut off. Hallelujah. Because before the fall of Adam, there was an automatic system placed in the earth. So Adam did not have to work to earn his living. Adam did not have to sweat his brow or to sweat and earn his living. What he had just to do is rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you want to rest in the Lord, you understand that? But when sin entered, when Adam and Eve fell, that curse was placed upon them that you will sweat and you will till the ground, and the ground will be harsh to yield its produce to you. So you have to keep on working. That is what sin does in our life. It takes us, puts us in a place where we are working, doing for the things of the world and never entering the rest of the Lord. But in Jesus' mighty name tonight, God is calling you to enter his rest. For that day, God has already kept your supplies in Jesus' mighty name.
And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I am telling you, if you're not working, but you are that day, you are resting in the Lord, you will never be in lack in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me stop here. The response is very weak tonight, so I'm going to stop here. Hallelujah. The response is very weak, so I'm going to stop.
I guess because it's deep teaching.
Uh-huh.
People are just thinking about it.
I don't know. Some people are thinking, and I think some people are not about you, but there are some people. So the response is very weak. Sunday night, come prepared. Okay. So I will stop here. And because if I go more deep, I need responses. That is rest. That is the supply of manna. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Yes. We will continue that on Sunday night. And we will see what more God has in store for us. And let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to give you the praise. We want to give you the honor. We want to give you the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Father, may we understand and align ourselves to the supply of manna. Lord, we align ourselves to the supply of manna in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Lord, and I blow the trumpet about that dream, Father, through this message, Lord, and through even what you spoke to me about the dream, Lord. Oh, Father, may many come to repentance and be saved and change their way, Lord. Lord, and come out of the way of destruction, Lord. Those who refuse, Lord, the supply system of manna, those who despise it, those who manhandle it, Lord, let us come back to depend on you every day. Let us come back to understand your rest, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the Bible. We want to thank you for the word of God. It is that manna, Lord, the stored up manna, Lord, which will never get spoiled, Lord. And the stored up manna, Lord, is the manna for rest, Lord. Oh, how wonderful it was, Lord, when Adam walked with you, Lord, but he sinned, Lord. He did not have to work, Lord, for the world, but he, Lord, walked with you in the Garden of Eden, Lord. Lord, the Bible does not say, Lord, after that it never happened, but it says about men that walked with you, Lord, even when they were there in the world. Enoch walked with you. The meaning of walking with God is entering his rest. The meaning of walking with the Lord is entering his rest, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, even though we are in the world, we can still enter your rest. We can still have that intimacy, have that fellowship with you, Lord God. Oh, Father, even, Lord, in the middle of the day, Lord, while we are doing something, we can just have a conversation with you. Enter that rest, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, even before you created Adam, you created his provisions, Lord. So we don't have to worry about anything. And then after creating Adam, what you did was you rested. You ceased from your works. And Lord, we are going to go into deeper revelation about this, Lord, in the coming meetings, Father. Father, every hold upon the minds of people be broken in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, every casualness, Lord, oh Father, regarding your word, Lord, Lord, I pray that your people will have reverence for your word, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, especially those who are not coming, Father, Lord, we cannot, Lord, bring them, only you can bring them. So we pray in the name of Jesus, convict their hearts, Lord. Let them get out of the business of the world, Lord, of the business of the activities, Lord. Lord, which are unnecessary, and let them come, Lord, to understand your word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. I just want to thank you for this time, Lord. I cover each and every person here with the blood of Jesus. Continue to speak to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. The tomorrow's meeting and the coming Sunday meeting, we give into your hands, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless you. We will meet tomorrow night for intercession and Sunday night again. And we will go into the time of giving. Sister Vetonia will lead us in the time to give unto the Lord. God bless.